Now our pastor.
Acts chapter 19. We're going to finish this series tonight. Acts chapter 19. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Lord, now open our hearts unto your word. How important the word is to our life as Christians. How important the word is to those who are outside of Christ. We thank you for the souls that were touched today and the Holy Spirit wooed to the altars and we saw them saved. Lord, to them presented themselves for baptism. Help them in their new life as your children. Help us to be an encouragement to them and love them and pray for them. And Lord, see them grow strong and mighty. Again, be with us. Let Satan be defeated tonight. Let your name be raised above all others as we worship you through your word. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I just love our church. Man, see what God does when we do for Him. I love the sweet spirit. I love the fellowship. I love giving people the business if I can. I like picking on people. Emily and I sing alto together tonight. She wouldn't sing bass with me, but we did sing alto together. Yeah. She didn't think I did such a good job, but that's okay. I was singing for the praise of God. Amen. I wish every church was like our church. I really do. Wish I had a bunch of people who just love the Lord with all their heart. I know we have some that haven't quite got there, but they're coming. They're coming along. They're getting a sweet spirit about them again, and they're starting to change. It's going to happen, and I'm just going to shout up and down, and I'll stay awake all night just praising God. We saw how important the Word of God is. The Bible says that the Word of God prevailed through persecution. The devil tried to stamp it out through persecution in the church and try to persecute them. And yet through that persecution, people hung tough and stayed strong and wouldn't give up. Next, we looked at the Holy Spirit made the sermon so irresistible. It's not anything about the speaker. The speaker's just being obedient to God. But it's that blessed Word of God that brings people to saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen. That Word of God, if we have a teachable spirit, that blessed Word of God, just it's irresistible. It just draws you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell folks all the time, our staff, they know this. We've been told this for 50 years. You can help somebody if they have a teachable spirit. If they have a heart to love God and to know God and do what God wants, there is no stopping that person. They're going to be faithful to God to the very end. Then we saw the message of the early church. As they preached it, it denounced sin and offered salvation. Remember that little news article that we read to you from our local papers a couple of Sundays ago? I believe it's a couple of Sundays ago. They asked where the altar calls are and how come people can't come down with their sin and get up a different person. You know, I don't know who that person is, but that is still the answer today. People getting on their knees and starting a relationship and a fellowship with our wonderful God. What a wonderful thing to have. You can go to bed at night and the last thing you talk about is you can talk to your Heavenly Father. The next morning when you wake up, the first thing you can do is just pick up where you left off. What better life to live than to that? You can be driving down the road, having somebody scream and holler at you, and you just start talking to the Lord, and all things are better. Friday night, my wife talked me into going to Walmart with her, and I don't like going to Walmart with her. We walked in the door in this family of kajillion. People in the family was swarming us. And so I just stopped. Well, I guess I had the unlikely privilege of stopping right in front of the daddy. But man, they were surrounding us. I couldn't go to the left and I couldn't go to the right. So I just stopped. And boy, did I get an earful. You got this whole aisle and you stopped right in the big middle of it. About 9 years old, heard her daddy, the whole family did. The wife went down like my wife used to do and just kept walking. And that little girl kept looking back at me and I just kept smiling at her. And I knew he would turn around to look at me after he got halfway down the store aisle. And finally he got out enough range where he knew I couldn't catch him because I'm too old and fat. He looked back at me and I was still smiling at him. To have that kind of peace in Jesus. I haven't always had that kind of peace. There have been times I had something to say to him. I just turn around and tell him what for. Get control over your family and quit taking over the whole stupid aisle. But I don't feel that way. Get control of them. Put them in single file. But I don't feel that way. To have peace in Jesus, isn't that wonderful? That's great. You ever had a bad day and then you had the opportunity to come to church that bad day and leaving with that day not being so bad after all? Isn't it great to be able to get with people that or having a somewhat good day? Got in the car with Zach this morning, and Zach says, "You seem a little happy today." I said, "I'm always happy." He says, "You seem extra happy." I'm always extra happy. I said, "Boy, we got a lot to praise God for, don't we, Zach?" "Oh, yes, we do." You know, in this Word of God being everlasting and prevailing, and when it becomes everlasting in the church and prevailing in the church is able. The church is able to be encouraged from the inside. Let me ask you something. Really, what kind of encouragement can we get from the world? Well, we can get a little bit of encouragement, amen? Not by watching the news or the political scene, but there are things out there that's encouraging. My brother got on YouTube and showed us a guy who got a tip of $700. He was an old poor kid, and he trying to get off of drugs and alcohol, and he's delivering pizza. And a group of people found out about him, and they brought pizza. He brought all those pizza in and gave him $700. That's encouraging, isn't it? Do any of you want pizza delivered? There's a little bit of encouragement out there. But I tell you what, in the true family of God, the bride of Christ, there's always good encouragement. You think about the church when it first started out. It started out very small. There was Jesus, the pastor, and then there were four. And then added to that four, were added a couple more. And went through, and before you know it, there was 12 there. And one of them was as lost as a ball in a weed patch. And from that little gathering, that small beginning, there came an avalanche that was powerful. I saw on the news that there's one guy went into an avalanche area and he wasn't supposed to. And he started an avalanche and they're going to fine him over it. But you know what? I like the avalanche that happens when it comes to the Word of God, the Gospel. I love that. One thing this early church did that I think we need to continue to do is keep the inner circle clean and close. You say, okay, are we separating ourselves? Well, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. Keep ourselves clean. The book of Ephesians tells us that we need to keep ourselves washed. Amen. Not with the salvation, blood of salvation, because we've already been done, but to make sure that our garments are white and clean. Amen. Doesn't it say that in the book of Ephesians? Well, let's go there. I don't think half of you believe me. Let's just go there just for a second. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says as in verse 25, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, what? The church. With the washing of the water by the word. The word of God keeps us clean. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. According to the word of God, should we all be holy? Huh? According to the word of God, should we all be without blemish? Spiritually? He makes it possible for us to be that kind of people, he says, through the word of God. The word of God keeps us clean. The word of God keeps us encouraged. You know, this early church with the word of God, they were devoted to the cause of success. Now, I know if you're here at church tonight, you would love to see your church have success. But you know, to be devoted to, or to have success, you got to be devoted to the cause of success. Success just doesn't happen. Success takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of sacrifice. Takes a lot of struggle. Somebody that's successful didn't get there just overnight for doing nothing unless they inherited it. And if they're just going to look at it as that, they'll not be a success. They will fall, because success comes with a cause. Amen? Let me ask you something tonight. What's the cause of Bible Baptist Church? They were devoted to the cause. What is the cause of Bible Baptist Church? I know we usually don't talk during worship service. We save that for Wednesday night. But what is the cause of Bible Baptist Church for success? Reach the lost at any cost. What's the cause? The cause is loyalty to God, amen? The cause is faithfulness. The cause is understanding that there's a work to be done, and that work depends on each and every one of us to stand fast in the gap and to do that work with all of our heart and with all of our mind and with all of our soul. That's the cause. These people knew through the Word of God that the hope of the church is within the church. Christians get out there in the world, and they don't get out there all of a sudden. It's a degress. And they let things of the world become more important to them than God. They don't want to. They don't mean to. But the devil just helps them to move inch by inch. You know the old saying, you give the devil an inch, and what will he be? He'll be your ruler. And that's the way he does it. It's just inch by inch. Next thing you know it, instead of Christ Jesus reigning supreme, we see the devil reigning supreme in our life. But the hope of the church is within the church. Every one of us want to see hope. We want to see success. We want to know that our cause is not in vain, but there's a reason behind it, and there's a hope behind it. These people that got saved today got saved because of faithful workers. people that wouldn't change, that would stay stable. And when they were here before and they came back, they were still the same way. That's what brings people to Christ Jesus, our testimony sometimes of how we live according to the Word of God. Amen. Our friends outside of the church, they can be an encouragement to us to some point. But those outside the church can't understand this if we are part of the church. I love Kim with all my heart, but I don't understand her. No, you don't either. You know why? We're not lady folks. Kim loves me. I'm her pastor. But she can't figure me out. But neither can the guys. You know, I've dealt with people and they say such and such. And I say, I don't get it. Well, other people say, well, I get it, but they've been involved in it, you know. I don't get a lot of stuff, but I tell you what I do get church. I do understand church. I understand the importance of church. And again, when I speak of church, I mean the people. I get it. I understand it. I know that when I'm down in the dumps, somebody somewhere is praying for me. This past week, we were in the car, and I had Travis with me. And I said, Travis, hand me my phone. And so, of course, I don't drive and text, but I will drive and talk. And I was looking down through the contacts, trying to find a number. And every now and then, he just grabbed hold of the steering wheel, keeping me on, you know, pilot to co-pilot, you know. NASA, we've got a problem here, you know. And he kept me on the straight and narrow while I was sitting there running through the contacts. And I called Shelly. I said, Shelly, I just want to call and tell you I love you. You're on my heart. She said, Terry, I'm in the emergency room right now. And I said, and you didn't call me? Well, I'm in Fairview. Okay, that's okay then. God puts people on our mind when they need to be on our mind. She said, thank you so much for calling. You know, that's God's doing. That's God's doing. Each and every one of you have been somewhere at some place, not knowing why, right when you needed to be there so you could be an encouragement to somebody. Do you think that's just by happen chance? No, that's God-led. And doesn't it make you feel good that God guides you where He wants you so you can do His business? That hope is located within the church. It's not with the defeat of the enemies outside of the church. The church is always going to have its enemies. It's always going to have those people that talk bad about it or about her. It's always going to have those naysayers and those people that left because the Word of God touched them and hit them right in between the lights. Instead of getting on their knees and getting right, they left. They say, well, we're going to this church now. And we feel better. Well, that church is not preaching the Word of God. If you left the church because the Word of God convicted your heart to the point where you felt like you needed to leave. You see, the church will not be defeated. The Word of God will not be defeated by its enemies. I think about all these people that try to rewrite the Bible in different versions. You know, they think they defeated the King James Version, but they haven't. Their creation is going to see them turn to worm bait. But the one who put this together, who led holy men of old together, He's very much alive, and He's very much present today. And His blessed book says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the true Word's not going anywhere. Now your bookstores, Christian bookstores, they call themselves. You go in there and you try to find a King James, they'll have three or four Bibles and that's it. Your Mardells who used to carry big whole sections of it, they'll take you down to a little old row while all these other perversions are just loaded up thick. But I don't care what they do. They can make it look insignificant, but it still rings true as God's Word. They can't change that. Seems like all these other versions have copyrights. You can't copy my Bible unless you pay me. Any one of you here today can copy this blessed book, put it in a binder, and sell it for profit because it's not copyrighted. Think about that one. Yeah. This early church and their Word of God, they had three great determinations. Number one, they had a vision. How long has it been, folks, since you had a vision? And I'm not talking about a Pentecostal experience. I'm talking about a vision. Where there is no vision, where there is no vision. Thank you very much. This early church had a vision. Mrs. Lynch, you've been a member here a long time. The early church had a vision, didn't they? They've had a vision all these years, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, we got to continue to have a vision for the lost. A vision for correctness. A vision for our brothers and sisters who are walking just a little bit out of the way to get back in the path that's well trodden with our brothers and sisters in Christ before us. Next, they had faith. Faith. Faith in a faithless world. Faith. We say we have faith in our God, yet we don't live by faith. We live by sight. We say our faith is strong in the Lord, but if you put a strength meter on it, it wouldn't even budge the little needle. But they had faith. And the third thing they desired and they made sure they had, they made sure they had loyalty. Loyalty is almost like common sense, a thing of the past. I think it's a shame that people don't have common sense anymore. As I was sitting there with the lawyer, I said, you know, I used to be able to read people and understand what they were thinking just by watching them. I said, I can't read hardly anybody anymore because they don't have any common sense. You can't read stupid. You can't. One of the things that their parents forgot to taught them, one of the things people forgot taught them, you felt at home there for a minute in Arkansas, didn't you? Oh, that was bad of me. Shame on me. One of the things parents forgot to teach their children is the Word of God and common sense. Then you wonder why the family's so screwed up and thinks weird. Well, the world's not like it used to be. I know, and I'm very discouraged about it. God used to be in some people's lives. The gospel does have foes. And sometimes the biggest foes of the gospel is a breakdown within the church. Say, what foes is that? Well, for one, unpraying Christians. That's a battle against the gospel faster than anything. It's Christians that don't pray. When you take time to pray and pray right, it's going to be heartfelt. It's going to mean something to you. You're going to get down on your knees one way and get up the neck a different way. Amen? Say, well, I haven't been able to get down on my knees in years. Well, you'll bow your head one way, and when you come up, you're going to be a total different person if you're praying right. A foe or an enemy of the gospel in the church is uncaring Christians. I care, but Brother Terry, I just don't care anymore. You know, that's an enemy of the gospel. But you don't understand, I'm tired. I'm beat down. I've given my life to Christ long enough. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus doesn't think that way. The absentee Christian is an enemy of the gospel. You know, I'm trying to help our Sunday morning crowd get back for Sunday night. And you know why they're not here tonight? Why do you think we have absentee Christians tonight? What do you think it really is? Huh? Lack of vision, yeah. But they just don't think it's important anymore. It's not important. Look at all these churches that don't have church on Sunday night anymore. And look at all these churches that don't have church on Wednesday night anymore. I mean, I want to encourage you today to only eat food on Sunday. It's not important that you have food every day. You can get by just eating food on Sunday. Jesus fasted 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days. Elijah fasted 40 days. Just eat once a week on a Sunday. It's important that we come to church as a body. It really is. And the sad thing about it is, it just doesn't take that much time out of our time. It doesn't. I usually have everybody out of there in 45 minutes on Wednesday nights. And that's when I'm long-winded. On Wednesday nights, I'll come and preach sitting beside you sometimes. Amen? Why do you do that? Well, it keeps everybody's head going like this, so it'll stay awake. And number two, I'm just tired. I want to sit down. Say, well, why don't you do that on Sunday morning, Sunday nights? It's too far down there and too far up. I'm sort of caged up here. But absentee Christians really do hurt the church. They do. You say, well, they won't miss me. Oh, but we do. Oh, they don't even notice that we're gone. Oh, yeah, we do. I noticed Jared and Mariah and the kids were gone for like ever. I get pictures of them with their bare feet in white sand. It was cold here, and I think I actually saw sweat coming off of Jared's face in a couple of pictures, you know. Yeah. They went down to Houston on their way home, and it was like 70-some degrees, and by the time they got up to Enid, The weather had dropped 40 degrees. I wish I could go to Florida. Not this week, but... but I noticed they missed. I knew they were going, but I missed them. When you folks aren't here, I ask the staff, what happened to such and such? Don't know. We'll go find out. I notice when you're not here. Do you notice when I'm not here? I hope so. You're going to hurt my feelings. I notice. I'm picking on Kim tonight. A couple of weeks ago, she was sick. Jeff walked in by. Where's Kim? She's sick. Okay. I miss Kim. She's a nut. On Sunday mornings when we go back there, there's a lot of giggling that goes on between her and Roxanne and my mother and stuff. I have to go down there and calm them down. I promise them candy if they'll be good. But you are missed. There's too much infidelity in the church. You know what fidelity is? We have an insurance company that's called Fidelity. What does that mean? Write down fidelity in the back of your Bible. It's a hard definition. What is fidelity? Faithful. That's what it means. Just simply faithful. It's another name for faithful. We have a little bit too much infidelity in the church of people who are caught up with new movements which aren't even scriptural. They're nothing scriptural, but they get caught up into it. We want to stay with the Word of God. In the book of First, and I'm almost done, aren't you glad? In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now I haven't ranted and raved. I have picked on Kim a little bit, and I'm probably going to get some brownies that have been tampered with or something like that. But she's sitting there and she's so quiet and nice, and I thought, man, I'm just going to tease her tonight. Is my room ready at your house? It's there. I'm sorry for anything that I did that teased you tonight. You're going to put bed bugs in my bed, aren't you? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. He says, and withal, they learn to be idle and wandering about from house to house. He's talking about the young ladies and their tattling and busybody, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. He says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Can you think about Paul when he's writing this? He says, there's some Christians that have already turned aside chasing Satan. We don't need to do that. He also tells us that there are imitators. They're counterfeit Christians. They put out bad literature. But folks, we don't need to receive that literature into our hands. That's false. The blessed literature that we can ever get is the literature that you folks are holding in your lap this evening. It's always been faithful. It's always been holy. It's always been upright. And it has always built up the Christian and made him strong. Where these false religions and false teachings destroy and cause confusion and cause heartache. Today, the gospel is just as powerful as it was in the early church. The gospel's power has not changed. If a person is going to get saved, they're going to have to get saved the same way the early church people got saved. These people that got saved today, they've been doing it for 2,000 years, just like God commanded it, just this way. It's got to be that way. And we that are Christians, if we're going to stand, and we must stand, would you all give me that? We must stand. And if we're going to stand, Brother Luke, we're going to have to stand just like the early church stood. No different. No harder. No easier. No more colorful. Just the same way as the early church stood. That's all God asked of us. Let's all stand with our head bowed and eyes closed. No